are tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey guys, what's up? It's Nicole Brazier here, flying solo tonight at AfterBuzz TV. Mob Wives, we are on Season 5, Episode 7, The Antisocial Network. And I'm missing Erica and Gabby tonight. Wish they were here for this episode. We finally saw some bloodshed and the guns came out and there's so much to talk about. I mean, I'm breaking a sweat here, maybe because it's my first solo show hosting, or most likely because it was so intense. There was a lot of just like violent talk the whole episode, and the ladies were shocked by the violence, but I think they had it planning out till the end. So we'll get to that. But first I want to quickly talk about the song you just heard. Now that's the old Mob Wives theme song, The Big Bang by Rock Mafia. Coincidental? I think not. But the new song that we're hearing in this new season is Deep Valley, and the song is called Baby Can I Tell. So I need you guys to hashtag, we've got a new hashtag here at ABTV. It's hashtag ABTV Mob Wives. Join the conversation. Follow me on Twitter at Nicole Brazier. On Instagram, same thing. It's like bra, J-E-R, very simple, and no H in Nicole. So can't wait to hear your feedback on tonight's discussion, because I'm just going to recap the episode and really want to engage you guys, and I need to hear your feedback on certain things. So first it's that song, and tell me which one you like better. Preferably, I would think the old school Big Bang. It's really catchy, and if you haven't heard it on the radio this past summer, it was a top 40 song, but it's been around for a long time. So good for Rock Mafia, and Tops to Deep Valley. It's great, great, great songs on Mob Wives. They always tell you to Shazam, but I think the best thing to do is look up the song and get a feel for it for yourself. So let's just dive right into this episode and talk about Drita, who opens up the episode with Lady Boss. And I need to know, who invests in Lady Boss, being that she mentions the company's been around for 3 years, it's in 10 different countries, and now she's launching the calendar, and good for her. I'm really proud of her and what she's done, you know, since everything that's happened through all the seasons of Mob Wives with her and her husband and her family. Now they both have successful businesses. But who wears Lady Boss? Who wears the makeup, the clothes, the jewelry? I need to know. So please, hashtag ABT Mob Wives. Let me know if you love her brand, and if you wear it, and if you invest in it, because I want to bring it out here and wear it in LA, but I need my New York people to tell me if it's worth it. So apparently it is, considering its popularity and only 3 years in the making. So we've got the calendar idea. It's old Hollywood meets the mob. I find that very Drita, very Mob Wives, a very good fit, especially because she's putting Big And in the calendar. And, you know, we'll get to that eventually because I want to hear everybody's feedback on the choice she made for Big Ange's role in the calendar. So then we see that there's going to be a party, and it's a poker party. Now, I'm an Italian, and I'm from that coast. So what we do, us ladies, even the men and the ladies, we love playing cards. So is this cliche? Maybe so, but poker is a very Italian, New York thing. Getting people together sparks a little drama, conversation, win some money. It's a good fit. So I was not shocked that she didn't invite Natalie G, of course. She invites Nat D, so we can get the inside scoop even more on Natalie G with the ladies. And we'll get to that and what happens there in a little bit. But then we'll go how to Big Ange, the only one left, meets up with Natalie G in New York, where she moved to. And We'll get to a little shocker that I find about Natalie G in a second following this little chat that they have. Basically, she tells Natalie about the mean tweets that Karen mentions in the previous episode on the boat, which we were all aware of anyway, and everybody's been aware of since the first episode of this season. And, you know, it just why does it come to a shock to Natalie that Karen's still harping on this, being that they didn't resolve anything at the Drunken Monkey? I mean, we hear so much back and forth from Karen and Natalie, and I just feel that Karen always has a point and Natalie doesn't, because, you know, she's targeted Karen's family in these tweets on social media, and it's flip-flop because Natalie's like, well, she came at me. I was attacked first. No, I believe, and I side with Karen on this one, she attacked, so Karen reciprocated, and it's just the twist of words that Natalie plays out in this whole season that I think most of us have seen, and most of you guys following, you agree with us that she's the one sparking, and the ones who don't, I still need to know why you think that Natalie G isn't the one that started this. I think now we're coming to find that there are a lot more people against Natalie G, but I find that it's for valid reasons. So Natalie G says Karen hacked into her mom's Facebook page, and that's why Natalie reciprocated and called Karen the bad mom because of the mom tactic she used against her mom. Now, I just find that hard to believe. I just don't think that people go above and beyond like that to hack into a Facebook page. Now, I use social media a lot. I'm sure you guys all do too. It's very easy to not hack into a page, but click on somebody's page and download their photo, not even being friends with them. So right off the bat, when I heard that, that's a lie to me, amongst the many lies that get unveiled throughout this season in regards to Natalie. And I think next episode we're going to see even more of that as Natalie D appears more and more on these episodes, because she's the only other outsider from Philly. Everybody else is this New York Staten Island girl. She calls Karen the wannabe, and here she is moving into an apartment in New York because she's the wannabe. And if you don't recognize when her little name tag pops up on Mob Wives, there's nothing there. There's nothing affiliated. There's a blank space with the cousin. I don't believe she really has too much mob-related family, you know, over the rest of the girls. So that's my opinion about Nat G. Now, you know, again, Nat G says Karen started it, and, you know, Big Ange wants to get together and sort it out once and for all. And we'll get to that at the end of this ABTV episode. Now, we see Big Ange go to her new house, and I'm really proud of Big Ange for making a home for her family despite everything that she has to deal with. I mean, her son and her cousin going to jail, and, you know, her differences with Renee, and she's got a lot on her plate, and she's still pulling through, and she's still being the boss of the family, and, you know, she's keeping the family afloat, and props to her. She's bashing her husband, saying that he's a waste and he's lazy. But at the end of the day, we see that all these ladies' husbands are wastes and shameful and not the best guys for them. And that's why they're mob wives. And I just got to praise Big Ange, and we're going to get to her a little bit more when we see her in that ridiculous outfit for Dorita's shoot. But let's just pop over back to Natalie, and this is what I was going to get to. Now, I guess I wasn't picking up on this, and please tweet at me. Let me know on YouTube if you knew this already, that Natalie has a son. Now, that's funny because she's talking left and talking right about moms and families and this and that and rats. And it's like, you are a mother. You're a mother too. I mean, they're all mothers. Don't get me wrong. But this mother happens to dress like it's the 90s with her this tata and that tata out. I mean, it's just, she's just is so hypocritical to me. And I was shocked to hear that she has a son when she was talking to London about what she wants to do with her son being in New York. He's 10 years old, so he will be a teenager soon. And she just wants him to be comfortable. And if she's going to stay on the show, good luck with your son growing into his teenage years and living in New York amongst all the drama you've created for everyone. That's just my opinion, and if you agree, let me know. And she keeps saying, you know, if you come at me, I'm going to come back at you harder. Now, there's always that saying that you do unto others as you want to be treated, blah, blah, blah. But these girls, they do not go by that at all. Now, I just find it funny. I don't think that Karen or any of the girls came at her first. She did stir up the drama in last season, and now she's taking the biggest pot and the biggest ladle and stirring the pot even more, and really has separated these girls. But now they're coming together, and we see that at the end of this episode, to duke it out. And, you know, I just find her, again, to be a little hypocritical. But she doesn't want to be brought into the fight, but she's doing it in respect to Big Ange. And that's all she has left, really, in this fight, because we see Drita is slowly losing her patience, and we see her popping at the end of this episode because she wants to knock somebody out. She can't take it anymore, and it's not even her fight. But that's Drita, and we know that. So, you know, we'll just go to the next thing. We're going to talk about the poker party. It was just a lot of same thing that we've been hearing. You know, Karen and Renee, sick of Natalie G., talking down on her. Natalie D comes. We see a little bit more of her again, giving in her input and telling them how Natalie G is. And she's from the block, same block she is. So she knows. And, you know, I got to say that I'm siding with Karen and Renee. I sympathize for Renee and I sympathize for Karen because she wasn't around last season. And now she is. And she's got to enter in drama that with a girl that she didn't even meet. And now she wants to meet her face to face, and she wants Big Ange to bring her face to face so she can settle it once and for all. And I don't, you know, Karen is the one, and we'll get to it in a sec, but I just want to say this one thing before we get to the end, that Karen's the one, if we saw at the fight, who started the conversation and attacked Natalie. Now, but I don't think she is the one that started the mean tweets. Natalie stirred the pot, so she came at her because she did what Natalie G always says, you come at me, I'm going to come back at you. Well, Karen came at you twice. So she talks a big talk, but when she's face to face, she's not the one who charges head first. And that's what I'm going to say about that. Now, we're going to go to after the poker party. You know, Ange reveals to Karen what Natalie G said about the picture thing, and it's just ridiculous, and about her 15-year-old daughter being dragged into the social media. I mean, that's terrible. Social media, bullying, mean tweets, it's no good for anybody, whether you're a mob family or you're a 10-year-old kid in elementary school. I mean, it's a nasty thing to do, and like Drita said, what is online fighting? I mean, you know, she believes a fight is meeting face-to-face and getting it done. And if you're walking away with a limp and you can't fight anymore, then the fight is over. That's a real fight. And I've got to agree with Drita. You know, the people who are getting on the internet and going undercover are cowards to me. And they're the ones that are suffering the most. And I don't want anybody, you know, anyone listening, anybody following, lead by example. Don't mean tweet. Just say your opinion and that'll be that. So we'll get to that at the end as well. So then we see the photo shoot, and Big Ange reveals every big asset of her to us. And I gotta say, she is now like 52, 53 years old, and she looks pretty good. I mean, she's got skinny arms, skinny legs. Obviously, the biggest part about her are her hair and her lips. But I mean, I was pretty impressed. She did look pretty good, and I see why Drita put her in the calendar. You know, she's not only Big Ange, but she's a big name. She's highly respected. She's going to do well promoting the calendar, getting people to buy it, look at it, because she's got her friend promoting her brand, and that's good business, and that means that she is a lady boss. She's a smart woman. But I want to know what you think, having Big Ange casted as Sharon Stone from Casino. Now, what a perfect movie to incorporate in this like Hollywood-esque mob calendar, because if you guys have seen Casino, you know Sharon Stone's role. I mean, she is a psychotic woman, but beautiful. She was a stripper. She marries this big guy who is big in the mob, owns all the casinos, and then she becomes this walking disaster. Now, if you think that that represents Big Ange, let me know. Or do you think, name another mob movie that you think she would have fitted a better role for. And I thought it was pretty funny when they put the little gun up to her big knockers. And it was just hilarious. And I really enjoyed seeing Big Ange in a pink fur coat rocking out Sharon Stone. So awesome idea to Drita. And then we're going to move to not only saying that Karen is a wannabe gangster, we're getting ready to see the fight, and we're seeing everybody's perspective. It's going from Karen to Renee to Drita, everybody solo giving us the feedback. And, you know, Drita does mention, let's just end this once and for all. Renee says she's solely there for Karen and that Natalie better come humble, which I don't even know why she said that, because that was not going to happen. I don't think that girl could ever be humble, even if she was in church. Sorry. I mean, she runs a funeral home and she goes to the funeral home like she's going to a 90s strip club. I mean, it's just, it's a little intense. But that's her and that's her personality, and God bless her. She looks good, so I guess she can walk around like that. But, you know, it's funny that Drita says, you know, sometimes violence is the only answer to things like this. And, I mean, you know, if we want to put it in a political way, yeah, you're right, because we have war, we have violence and guns and bombs and this and that, you're right. But when it comes to a group of, like, 40 to 50-year-old women, I don't know if violence is the best way, meeting at a really classy restaurant amongst the river in New York and duking it out. I mean, I need to know. Also, as I was thinking of this as watching the episode, if you ever have witnessed a mob wives brawl, if you've been on set or you've worked for production or you've just been in the club or at that restaurant, let me know how you see it. I mean, I know we believe it's real. We've talked to the producers. We know that these fights are no joke, but I want to know what it's like actually being and witnessing it. I mean, is it shocking? Is it entertaining? Is it scary? I mean, I would have been scared for this one based on the amount of security they had hound to break them apart. And as we see in the preview for next week, or week rather, that this is an ending. I mean, it goes from the back patio to the sidewalk to the parking lot, and it's not done there. And they don't want it to be done. I don't know if Jen, the producer, wanted it to be over or they wanted to let it go, but it seems like they let it go, and I'm hoping we'll get someone on the line next week to verify the fight, because there's more to come next week. So the girls are tense, and they know it's going to be ugly. We see that, and it's just funny how they thought that maybe it wouldn't go down this way. But I'm sure all in the back of their minds, they really wanted it to. And, you know, again, Nat G says she's just meeting with them for Drita and Ange, because that's her girls and that's it. And then Natalie sits down. She takes off her coat. She's the last one, of course, to sit down at the fight. And lo and behold, her breasts are right in their faces. And, you know, it's like, ooh, again, I'm sorry. I'm ripping on Natalie a little bit tonight. But, you know, she just further proves everybody's point. And maybe that's her character. She adds the spice to this Mob Wives season. And, you know, without Natalie, what would we really be dealing with this season besides Renee and Big Ange's pickle? But again, that was all in cahoots with Natalie. So, you know, this girl really knows how to shine and really knows how to make reality TV real. So, and I don't know if these are real, but everything else looks pretty good. So, as I mentioned before, Karen goes right in. She goes right into the, and she's the one that starts the conversation between the two of them in front of the ladies. And that just proves my point again about Karen. You know, she's not there to dilly-dally. Let's go. Let's get this started. She's real. She's not scared. And she's no wannabe. She is no wannabe, especially because her father, of who he is and what he's done. I mean, I don't think she wants to really be a dangerous mob figure or wannabe, like, bad girl. She's proven to us, especially with her absence, that she wants to move forward and be a good mom, and she's shown that. And we've seen a little bit of her personal relationship struggle, and to further prove that she's real. The wannabe at the end of the day, I think, is Natalie, and I believe that we're going to see more of that enhance as these last episodes come to end this crazy season, which we can't even get to yet. But So Natalie, of course, then again says, Karen started it. She's not really answering the questions. She's aggravating them even more and more. Why can't she admit she's wrong? She never does. I mean, as a woman, it's especially like these women, it's so hard, I think, for any of them to say that they're wrong. I did find it a little shocking from last episode when Renee swore in the Bible, apologized to Big Ange, they cleaned the slate, you know, so that does show that some of them are willing to bury the hatchet and move forward. But with Natalie, I just think because she's younger and she's newer, that's just not the way she operates, and she's not, she hasn't been in this group long enough to show that she can be like that. And I think it's going to take this fight to end the way that we all kind of hope it will, and the way that Drita really hopes it will, for her to kind of wake up and realize that she needs to change her attitude, especially when she associates with women like this, if she wants to continue. So, and then she says that something about the boyfriends were the reason for her to attack Karen, and that happened so much later than the tweet, so that doesn't make sense. So again, you know, she twists her words. She can't really find a way to defend herself. So Karen does something we've seen another wife on the East Coast do. She flips the table and she heads straight in for the kill. Now, I'm from New Jersey, and see, it's not just a Jersey thing. Like, maybe it's just an East Coast thing. We get very angry, and you saw Karen. She was sitting there. She was patient. She was waiting, but Natalie kept saying things that weren't giving her a reason to not flip out, because she wasn't reciprocating and she wasn't apologizing and she wasn't admitting to what she did wrong. Instead, she wants to just say, oh, well, your daughter's beautiful. Okay, how about an apology instead that, you know, her 15-year-old daughter is witnessing these horrible acts on social media? And I mean, if you really think about social media, it's funny how many kids are using it versus adults. There are so many kids in elementary school and middle school, you know, high school that have these phones. I'm not giving my kid a phone, right, you guys? I'm not giving my kid a phone until they're like 18 years old, because they're in the middle of it whether they want to be or not, and they're attached to it, and it's so ugly, and it's so sad for these, especially all these kids on Mob Wives, to be going through what they're going through. So, you know, hopefully these ladies really end it soon. And that being said, they start fighting. It's a hair pulling, like nail scratching, girly bitch fight. I'm sorry. I thought someone was going to swing, use their muscles, but they just grab hair and literally will not let go. Now, we can tell that both of these women have hair extensions. So if you're that smart, why didn't you go underneath and rip out the extension? And I saw that they had a good hold on each other, but I didn't see any hair get ripped out. And that was pretty shocking, because I know that hair is not real, girls. I'm sorry. Both are beautiful, but, you know, again, it's what girls do. They go for the hair, and maybe not necessarily for the punch. Guys, you're a little bit different. You can maybe knock them out in one punch. Us girls, we got to get kind of dirty and down. They were on the ground. It was I think there was literally about like 8 bouncers on only 2 women. And then Drita, of course, comes in for the kill because she wants to fight. She's been wanting to fight. She's been talking about a fight this entire season so far. And even though it's not her fight, she just wants it to end bloody and end bad so it can officially end. And if that's the way these ladies do it, then let them handle it that way. I mean, we enjoy it. We're not going to argue. So, you know, I just feel bad for the people behind the scenes having to deal with all the drama. I mean, I had so much anxiety this episode, because it must be one of the craziest reality sets productions to have to deal with. And I have a friend who maybe we can get on the line next week who has worked with them the last season. Maybe she'd give us a little insight about what it's really like to work on set. So at the end, we see them running into the parking lot. Karen wants round 2. She's not done. We hear Drita screaming, it's not over. It's not over. We need it to be over. They're all screaming to the production crew, we need them to keep fighting, because it can't just end with the bouncers pulling them apart, because the drama is going to continue. So I'm really stoked to see how this plays out. If Karen and Natalie get a couple more scratches in and stuff, we see Natalie wipe the blood from her cheek. We see Karen's nose is all messed up, and Karen's still ready to go. I mean, we see Natalie walk away, and that's not the first time we've seen Natalie not only not start the conversation or the fight, but walk away and Karen follow her and continue the argument. So I got to say, for Natalie to call Karen the wannabe and this and that, and Karen's the one who started it. No, Karen's the only one that starts the initial face-to-face confrontation that you led to that point that you had to meet face-to-face. That's my opinion. And if you agree, please let me know. Hashtag ABTV Mob Wives. Again, my name is Nicole Brazier. You can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram. Please look to my SoundCloud and on YouTube. You can follow all of my red carpet footage at Real TV Films. It's awesome. You're going to enjoy it. Catch us. We just did Sundance. My name is Nicole Brazier. You're listening to AfterBuzz TV. And thanks so much for joining me here on Mob Wives. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, bitches.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.